Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
9:40, 20 till 10, Tommy Tucker, WWL. We talked to Cynthia Lee Sheng just now, and she was talking about Lafitte and Grand Isle and how hard hit they were and how tough it's going to be heading into the holidays. And she's right about that. Day 99 of the Ida recovery, Monday, December 6th. Hot, highs of 80 today. Then it cools off after some storms this afternoon. Spotty showers lingering into tomorrow, highs of 59. Then morning rain Wednesday, highs of 70, and then it gets hotter. Highs of 79 on Thursday, 82 on Friday, which really is pretty close to 85, right? Then a cold front comes through Saturday, highs of 80 then. And finally, by Sunday, they're saying a little wintry feel with highs only in the upper 50s. Ricky Templet, Jefferson Parish Council member, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Tommy. It definitely doesn't feel like Christmas weather this week.
No, it doesn't. And I was thinking, Ricky, how bad it is, because I went to play golf on Friday and sweated like crazy and drank the Gatorade and all that stuff. And that's got nothing to do with people recovering other than trying, if they are working on their homes or trying to get something fixed. The heat's not helping, is it?
No, not at all. You know, you're celebrating Christmas and tree lighting ceremonies in a short sleeve shirt, and people are trying to rebuild their homes at the same time. So, yes.
Tell me what's different about Grand Isle from the time I was there. What was it, October, I think I went? Early October?
I think the last time you and I talked, you said you were there around October. And look, a lot's happening daily. One of the good things is that, you know, all the transmission lines on the island itself to the Chenier have been replaced by Entergy. The island is running on its own generator power all the way to the Chenier. There's two generator stations that Entergy put in, one on the eastern end and one on the western end of the island. The Entergy is currently working on the transmission line from Lafourche to Grand Isle to the Chenier to have the permanent line put in. As well as one of the good things that they're doing is they're also looking at putting an underground transmission line to the island as well from Chenier. That's kind of what we've been hearing a lot with this storm, hardening our systems, and that's one of those systems that would help harden, you know, the electrical grid.
So they would fix it traditionally first and then look at burying it or putting it underwater?
Now, what they're going to do is, to my knowledge today, is that they're going to finish the overhead transmission line and then come back and put the underground from basically from Fouchon to the Chenier area. That's, if you know, that's the area right before you get to the island and cross the bridge. That's called the Chenier.
Not a lot of land at all.
Not a lot of land, yes.
Are all of these lines, or at least a lot of the what they have to – well, it doesn't matter because you can put it underwater. Let me move on. Tell me about – the island itself, still sand all over the place, people demolishing houses, people rebuilding, anybody, is it livable? Tell me, Ricky.
Actually, people, if you have full services on the island right now as far as electricity, running water, that's not drinkable. The water currently that is coming to the facilities and the homes on the island is not drinkable. It has to be boiled if you're going to use it for any purposes. You got to realize, Tommy, that water line goes 32 miles from Lower Lafitte and pumped all the way to Grand Isle and has basically 24 stations along the route in the bayou that were all 24 were damaged. About 10 miles of the water line was just floating in the air when we found it after Hurricane Ida, just floating on top of the water. Totally damaged. And on the island itself, since we run so far with water for the 32 miles, we have a rechlorination system on the island that rechlorinates the water so we could drink it and use it. That system was totally wiped out during Ida, so that's currently being repaired too. But you do have running water, you just don't have water that you could drink and cook with right now.
So wait, take me through that process.
The residents who can... I'm sorry.
Go ahead, finish that part, Ricky.
And most of the residents on the island that had natural gas, if they could receive it, can receive it now. Same thing with power. If the residents can receive it, they can receive it now, as well as water. You got to realize we're talking about almost 700 homes that were we're looking at that are going to be totally demolished or devastated. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those homes can't receive any of those services.
So in terms of the houses themselves there, is demolition underway, or is it still look like it did in October?
No, you can go on the island now and you'll see homes being demolished by private owners. If you heard, and I listened to you chatting with our parish president, Cynthia Lee Shang, and she did an excellent job, is that, you know, we're looking at a new program for property, private property demolitions for those who didn't have insurance or have enough money to demolish their property. We're trying to work with FEMA with that program now. But people are already demolishing their homes through insurance or privately removing their homes or their camps, as you want to call them.
So what are you hearing about rebuilding from people there? Is the willpower there? Is the money there? Is the, I guess, can you even get insurance if you have a place on Grand Isle?
Yes, sir. You can, to answer your question on the insurance part, you can get insurance if you live on Grand Isle. The hard part is if you're a resident or a native of the island and a young couple trying to buy a home, mm-hmm. you know as well as I do, any mortgage requires you to have flood and wind and hail, and that is costing more now than the actual note for the home. Mm-hmm. So it's starting to become cost prohibitive for the locals to live there. But yes, you can buy a home, build on the island. You're going to see a big transition on the island. The other day I spoke to someone. All of us know whoever has been going to Grand Isle for all these years have passed Rick's Motel for generations. The facility called the Hurricane Hole, which is a really nice facility, private gated facility on the island, bought out the Rick's Motel. And they're going to be expanding, and this is like a Caribbean-looking community that they build, and expanding that whole complex there. So there is progress on the island, and people are coming back.
Somebody texted in about, are tourists allowed to enter the island, and what about fishing, et cetera?
Well, look, Tommy, right now there's no restrictions on the island right now, and about 3 weeks ago they lifted the curfew. People, they're not encouraging people to come to the island, but there are no restrictions at this point. You know, look, you got to realize there's still work being done. You mentioned sand. There's still sand being removed from not just the roadways, but from private property. You know, you've had people with 4 feet of sand that was relocated to their property, and you have big equipment removing that. You still have water lines that we're trying to reconnect. You have your communication companies now on the island trying to run their lines on all the new poles. So they don't encourage tourists yet, but no one's restricted from coming on the island.
And certainly not to stay overnight, correct?
That's correct. We do have, like I said, we have running water, but we don't want to tax the system. And, you know, you also want to make sure that the firefighters have enough water to fight fires for safety purposes on the island.
Tell me about Lafitte. What's going on there, Ricky?
Well, recovering, you know, Lafitte had a different situation. You know, Grand Isle was inundated with mostly water and sand and wind. Lafitte was inundated with marsh, flotons, if you call them. It's a floating marsh and mud that came all the way out of the Barataria waterways, some from Lafourche areas, Bayou Pirogue, and all inundated Lower Lafitte and most of Lafitte area. The good news is that last Wednesday, FEMA, with some pretty high-ranking directors, came down, and we gave them a boat tour with the administration and my staff and Mayor Timmy Kerner, put eyes on the water and the waterways. Because I don't think they could understand what we're talking about, where we had waterways that were blocked by debris, mud, flotons. And a lot of these communities down there whose homes are on these waterways couldn't access their boats or their property from the waterway because it's all inundated with marsh and mud. When we brought FEMA down there and enlightened them on a tour that this is a safety issue, because you know as well as I do, one of the big stories was when the bridge was knocked out to the Barataria side of Lower Lafitte, we couldn't, without the waterways, we couldn't adequately fight a fire, save people's lives, or rescue people. Now with those waterways inundated with marsh and flotons and debris, if something would have happened today, we would have trouble accessing that communities by boat to adequately fight a fire, rescue someone. And look, we're praying that nothing happens to that bridge while all these waterways are inundated with the marshes.
In terms of the Kerner Bridge, that what would you, and I'm a little bit confused about this. Are they still using the temporary bridge that the Army Corps of Engineers set up, or?
No, we're actually, the Kerner Bridge is back in place. It's not the original bridge. This is one that was fabricated within 36 days after the hurricane. DOTD did an excellent job. It was roughly about $5 million spent on replacing this bridge, but it's a permanent welded in-place bridge. This bridge does not open. Marine traffic has to go around a different route through another intercoastal waterway. So this bridge is there, but it does not open. And the military bridge was removed a little bit about a month and a half ago.
All right, when it comes to Grand Isle, real quick, because we're running out of time, that sand that I saw, because the place looked like Kuwait with all the sand that was there, that's going to be removed eventually from private property?
Well, what they're doing now, Tommy, is when they remove the sand from the street, if you saw it in areas where it was kind of stockpiled and built up, as well as now they're taking it from property owners, private property, who are given permission to remove the sand, because naturally if you have 4 foot of sand on your property, you can't use it.
Right.
And that sand is being brought to a designated location on the island, and then it has to be filtered with equipment and then put on the beach. The sand on Grand Isle by law cannot be removed from the island. It has to stay on the island, and it is considered by the state and the parish as a natural resource. So that sand is all being filtered by machines and then replaced to the beach.
Yeah, I saw that. That's something to see. Real quick, restoration of water with that 32 miles from Lafitte to Grand Isle. You got any idea on when that's going to be accomplished?
Well, as far as full use, no. I mean, I'm going to tell you, Tommy, the full cost of replacing that line properly is roughly about $30 million. That includes replacing the whole line that was damaged for that 32 miles, pump station from Lafitte that was submerged under 10 feet of water, rechlorination systems, redistribution systems, all have to be long-term replaced. And you're talking about close to $30 million price tag that we're looking at. But currently that line is operating and pumping water. As soon as we can get the rechlorination system, it's because it's a custom-built system built.
Gotcha.
You'll have water that people can drink and cook with.
Thank you, Ricky. I know everybody down there appreciates your efforts. Ricky Templet, Jefferson Parish Councilmember. Quick break. We'll find out what Newell Norman's got planned for us today here on WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.